Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter, from plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 now and begin your language learning journey. Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
I think plus minus kind of tell you a lot.
Murray steps back. Bang! 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 Exclamation point!
The plus minus statistic.
It's a stat that tells the truth.
Are you a believer in that statistic?
You tell me. I know it's good to be a plus.
It's Warriors plus minus.
Plus minus, plus minus.
Hello and welcome to a blowout edition of the Warriors Plus Minus Podcast. Marcus Thompson is with me.
Can we call this the Deja Vu edition? Deja Vu episode.
Only no, because they didn't end up losing by, you know, 30, 40, 50, because there was even a chance in the fourth.
From Dallas, game four.
Game four in Dallas. That's a pretty good one.
Actually, yeah, remember? They were down 29 to start the fourth quarter, and Moses Moody and Nemanja Bjelica and crew brought them back. Remember, if you remember, Steve brought back the starters. They cut it to 8, brought back the starters, and then regretted doing it.
Steph Curry unwrapped his thumb brace late in the third quarter, took his ankle braces off, and when Kevin Knox hit a 3 in the corner, and he may have done, so it was 29, I should say. You know, Warriors got blown out tonight. They were down 29 mid-third.
Oh, by the way, they lost game five. Game five, just in honor of Tim Kawakami, who's not here, you got to say.
In Houston, Texas,
yeah, on April 30th, 2025.
And Steph asked for his ankle braces back.
Yeah, he put it back on.
He looked down at the trainer who had it way in the deep corner, like near the tunnel, and like called for them back and was putting them back on. But, I mean, it never seemed like Steve Kerr wanted to go back to
them. I don't think he would have put them back in.
He said he wouldn't have in his postgame.
I believe him. But because
what if it got down to like four?
I remember he did that already, and the guys got back in after sitting for 10 minutes. Were cold. The group who brought them back, who were clicking, like pulled them out. Like he was. I remember him saying that I should have just went with the guys who got us there, but they got back in and didn't make any headway. Kind of killed the momentum. You put them back in, ice cold now. You know, against the Rocket starters too. That's the other thing. So yeah, I don't think he would have done it, and I think he would have been right not to do it. I don't know how effective these guys would have been sitting for all this time and then coming back in a like high intense game. I don't know if that would even work. I'd rather see Key out there grabbing rebounds. And
that was where the comeback effort fell short, was when they had about four offensive rebounds, couldn't finish, and then. I believe that's what ended in the Pat Spencer push of Dylan Brooks, the head-to-head Pat Spencer Alperin Sengun, the headbutt that got Pat Spencer ejected, and then the Trace Jackson Davis push, and it was spicy, but that pretty much ended the game.
I mean, look, the game was probably over anyway, but headbutt, sometimes I understand it's so chippy, they go to the replay, and they get a little extra, you know, sensitive about it. Like you said on the last one, like, and 99% of the times, Steph's isn't a taunt. But once you go back to the replay and you're like, how did this all begin?
Something bigger.
It's like, that was weak, especially Pat Spencer's. Like, let the man live. He's out here hooping in a playoff game. Do you know his journey, officials?
You know his journey. Warriors were horrible tonight. The starters. Houston was in the bonus within about 5 minutes. And Rockets were good, obviously. They shot it really well. They were like 14 of 14 from on the line, like 8 minutes into the game, which is like, wow, they had a lot of free throws, and wow, they were actually hitting them.
Yeah, and they were making their threes. They just weren't missing open shots. Fred VanVleet was still hot, clearly. And, you know, Dylan Brooks is shooting the heck out the ball. I mean, and they were just aggressive. They were forward. It was like, this is Sparta, like, type energy, right? They were just like, everything was forward, and the Warriors were on their back foot. And really, Steph, it starts with Steph. He was on his back foot. Yeah. I still think it's just they do this thing, and we've seen this before, where it just becomes, okay, we know they're going to pressure them. Let's use the pressure to get other stuff going. But, man, these are big moments to say, hey, you know, Pajemski's been good, but Pajemski, Moody, Quentin Post, even Buddy Hield. It's like, I understand, like, offense, and I get the philosophy behind it, but these are massive shots. And there were times tonight, Quentin Post, through no fault of his own, like, he just looked overwhelmed. And that's when you think, like, there's a reason they want to take Steph Curry away, right? And on the other hand, they have nothing to lose. They're just carefree shooting. So, to me, it's got to begin with Steph going. They can't start saying, let's see if we can get Buddy an open look. Let's see if we get Pods. It's like, no, let's see if you can get Steph some open looks and then play off of that. But he's just been too passive to start.
Yeah. Amen Thompson was pressing him up towards half court today.
He had five steals in, like, the first half. It was insane. Steph said he was, like, trying to set up the offense and not paying. He got, like, ribbed twice.
Yeah, he was, like, looking past Amen Thompson at, like, how the – Steve Kerr play call was developing.
He's like, hey, motion. Oh, yeah. That's an absolute sign of just lack of aggression right there.
And just, I think, you know, look, it's human nature, but like they took the mental throttle off for this game. I mean, the fact that Steve Kerr, even at halftime, they're down 29, is like having conversation with Draymond Green, like, yeah, how many minutes should we go before we pull the plug? Like five? Like, that is not an aggressive mentality. They did not bring an aggressive mentality. That's, you know, again, it's fine, but you better go win game six. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of – the way Houston was playing, the Warriors would have had to have, like, a really, like, you know, A-game type game here. And so in some ways you can say, hey, look, if you were just going to go pedal to the metal and lose by eight – but play your starters 40 minutes, it's probably better it went this way. 25 minutes for Jimmy Butler, 23 minutes for Steph Curry, 18 minutes for Draymond Green. But they basically punted this game.
Yeah, I mean, the issue I would take with that, not with what you're saying, but the reason they punted is, if you actually come with some aggression, does Houston play that? Yeah. Are they playing that well? Like, they're playing that well largely because they're getting wide open shots. No, they're being uncontested on their drives. No real resistance. All they did was push their defense out and be a little bit more aggressive. Yeah. Nobody's driving. They're just chucking threes. Like, what happens if you actually, like, fight back? Maybe not 40 minutes, a quarter. Do they have this game? To me, that's the part where it's like, you can't really do that. And, you know, in fairness to them, they've always come back and won the next game. But it just feels like an increasingly risky play. Like, you know, like, they haven't won. Have they put together a really good game in the series? The Warriors.
Yeah, I was at game one. I mean, obviously, it wasn't like this offensive masterpiece. I think they won it 95-85. But that was
great defense, though.
That was like a really strong road win, game one, yeah. I thought. And then, you know, game three without Butler, like, yeah. That's about as good as they could have played.
And Steph was great in that game. They just haven't strung together a bunch of great games. And the part that, you know, they obviously have all the confidence in the world, right? They feel like, oh, we're going to go home and win. I'm just saying at some point that's gonna come back to bite you. And even if you do win, right, we've already seen it bite them in 2023.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about now at least six games in the first round. Potentially, we're talking at halftime in the Minnesota game. Minnesota's up 10. They could close out tonight.
Yeah.
And if they do, you're talking about the Warriors playing Friday at home. And if they lose, playing a Sunday, probably an afternoon ABC game in Houston, game seven, which is obviously season on the line. But even if they win game six, if Minnesota has already closed, there might be a chance they have to go and play game one Sunday in Minnesota.
Game one Sunday.
And Sunday's supposed to be the one they need to be rested for to go steal.
Yeah.
And
that's what happened against the Lakers. Remember, they didn't end the series against Sacramento, ended up having to play a game seven, and then had to turn around quick for game one and lost game one. Like, that's, you know, they just don't have the legs to play with it. So it'll be interesting, especially if it's Minnesota, too. Like, now you get another big, physical, athletic team. So you have to go through it again on pretty much no rest. And we're seeing, like, Once these games come every other day, you can just see a difference in their zeal. So this might be one of them situations that comes back to haunt them. If we go on by how it works in history.
Jimmy Butler was quiet tonight. It does seem like he's moving better and feeling a little bit better. But you know, he took jumpers earlier. I think three of his first four shots were threes, which is very rare for him. That, like, you know, 16 of their first like 21 shots as a team were from three. You know, you almost don't need to go player by player tonight because nobody was great. You know, Moody actually ended up with like 25. A lot of those, you know, in the
Moody
fourth.
Was part of the comeback in Dallas, yeah. Remember? In 2022, yeah.
It got him a rotation spot over Damian Lee, I believe, in the next game.
Yeah, that's right. Damian Lee was in that, that end of game, that comeback. I do think Jimmy Butler's play tonight was, I don't want to say like he was the problem or anything, but if Steph is going to be kind of letting the game come to him and trying to use the gravity, like, somebody's got to then be aggressive on the other side. And he obviously has a reason why he wasn't aggressive, but he was taking a lot of jumpers.
Yeah, they spent the fourth quarter, the last 18 minutes, which was probably 45 minutes of real time, on the bench, like, talking through a lot of stuff, like, engaged and, you know, pretty animated conversations, relaxed conversations at times. I mean, it was so much time to just sit there already knowing the result of the game. And you could tell they were talking a lot of strategy and you know, what went wrong, what they could fix, whatever. And then I thought it was interesting you asked Steph a question. And he mentioned within it that, like, they got to get Jimmy the ball in better spots. Like, I think partly was Jimmy's lack of, like, that playoff aggression that he might have had offensively tonight, but it seemed like they thought it was also scheme based and like inability to get Jimmy the ball in ways that he needs it.
Yeah, they were just moving the ball on the perimeter, just perimeter passes because Houston was overplaying. And Pods and Jimmy are probably the only two players who can say, all right, if you're going to overplay me, if you're going to be this aggressive coming up, I'm going to go around you. They just don't have dudes who feel comfortable to do that. And Pods really wasn't doing it either. But Jimmy is the guy where you're like, okay, I need you to take Dylan Brooks. Like, I need you to beat him off the dribble. Like, that's the answer. So I don't even know if you're going to be able to run a scheme that allows you to get Jimmy in spots if Fred VanVleet, Amen Thompson, and Jalen Green are assigned to just 30 feet out, just go pressure the ball. They're not going to blow by you, so just do it. So to me, I feel like they're going to have to take dudes off the dribble. They're going to have to stop running screens and just go ISO. Like, or, you know, I think they're going to put Jimmy in the middle too, because they had Draymond in the middle a lot. Gee was really good, actually. He was the one. He was flashing across the middle. He had a couple open threes. Yeah, they were. Isn't it crazy how the Warriors have these shooters who just go cold, and see and Houston non-shooters are just not missing?
Yeah. Basketball.
It's hoop, baby. That's why we love it.
No Jonathan Kuminga tonight. Ruled out sick maybe like 90 minutes prior to the game. That's why, you know, I've had some people be like, you know, he just even DMP'd Kuminga in garbage time. I was like, no, he was in the locker room. He was sick.
Did he go to the same seafood spot Pods went to or something?
Maybe. Didn't ask. Which is my job. I should have.
I just don't think on the list of things you were doing tonight, I just don't think that was.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/RS10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/RS10 now and begin your language learning journey. Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Pretty high.
Nah. Steph Curry's thumb, icing it again post game. I believe him when he says, I don't think it's really like bothering his shot. I mean, we've seen he's been shooting it well, like generally. Like, it's not like he's in some like cold slump as a shooter. But one of the talking points post game was also this whole high five contact
thing. He did not want a part of that, huh?
No, he didn't really. Although it was clear he got fouled on a few attempts that weren't just part of that. You know, Steve Kerr really went into like the rule that the league allows, which is after you release the shot, you can kind of hit a guy's arm or hand. And Dylan Brooks, as you know, a lot of Warriors people are saying, has taken that freedom to the extreme and is trying to do it on every shot, purposely trying to just, you know, hit arms, hit hands, all that.
Hit a certain thumb.
Sure, if that happens to be in his karate chop way, then that's fine. And you know, again, that's like we've seen this. Remember who was the defender that was started with like the hand in the eyes? Oh. Is that like Trevor Ariza or something?
I remember Shane Battier.
I think it was Shane Battier.
Yeah, did somebody? I think Jalen Brunson hit somebody in the face trying to do that.
Like, yeah, he did the other day. You're right. But like, I remember the first time you saw it was like this, like Shane Battier, and they had the slow mo. I think it was like on Kobe.
Yeah, I remember that.
And this is kind of that version of that. And like, you know, again, Steve says he talks to all 30 coaches, and all 30 of them don't like the rule, but
he
they have
expects it to get changed, right?
Yeah, yeah. And he, you know, he's kind of at times part of the competition committee. So anyway, that is the bigger picture. Like, I don't know. I guess it's a rule that everybody's moaning about, although I'm just kind of starting to hear about it now. But, you know, Steph's taken contact beyond that is what he is arguing. At least, you know, maybe on two threes tonight, maybe three threes. It's not like that changes the game. They're getting, you know, boat race regardless. But it's a physical series for Steph.
Yeah, and you could tell it's – I do think that's part of why he's pacing – like not pacing himself but reading it first. Because it's not just defenders coming from all places. It's like – body bumps coming from other places like that. There was one time he finally drove and Amen Thompson just comes out of nowhere. And I don't think he's really getting a good feel of where they're coming from. But when they do come, like they're getting contact on him and you can see him kind of trying to feel where he can get space from. So I just think it's odd of all the things to like lobby about. He chose an off-season rule. I'd be Phil Jackson in this thing. 14 free throws and we had none.
Yes.
I'd be going crazy about Steph gets held every play. I sending tapes out to the media and all that. I'd be going nuts out here.
I think he was under the correct belief that they just got demolished. Like, oh, yeah. But from an energy and focus level.
It had nothing to do with why they lost this game. But yeah. But just generally speaking, how they've been allowed to play Steph. That's what I would be.
Steve has been openly, or not open, I should say, Steve has been like very, you know, purposely not in criticizing the officials in this series.
Steph isn't either, though. Yeah, like, I even asked him about the property. He's like, if it's a foul, they should call it. Emergency, like,
yeah.
That's on the refs, man. They got to call a foul. If they call it, they call it. If they don't, you just keep playing. Like, he's not really. He just didn't want any part of it. By the way, I did ask him about the thumb. He had a funny line. He's like, I was like, so what's the truth about the thumb? He's like, what? I scored 36 with the same thumb.
Yeah.
Like, so I do believe that.
Yeah, I don't think it's like it really impacting him that much.
I was just trying to get some intel.
Yeah, he's like, oh, you know, torn ligament, needs surgery
exactly.
In a month.
Yeah. He's like, what? No. Why are you asking me about my thumb? Like,
yeah.
I've had it all series, so. That's...
Had it really all season. Now, I know late in the season in Portland it got hit, and maybe it was a worse degree, but he's had his thumb taped on and off for, like, 4 months now.
Yeah, and that was, like, it's not even, they're not icing the thumb. It's like his whole hand is in an ice cast, which is, you know, kind of weird. But, this one, it was just ugly nonetheless, but it just... I didn't get to my seat in time, like, for the tip-off. So I got there, and you can just feel it. So I missed the Draymond, you know, I missed the start of it where, you know, you could see it on the TVs, but I wasn't in my seat. By the time I sat down, I was like, why did we even come here? Like, we knew this was coming. So it felt like deja vu to the point where they were like, we're out of here. There wasn't even much post-game. Like,
they got out of the arena quick tonight. It was not a somber post-game mood. It was a much more somber post-game mood game, too. A large reason of that is because, like, the status of Jimmy Butler was very much up in the air. And, I, you know, I'm not taking that much from it, but it did not feel like a team that was fearful of game six.
It did not. The other thing that was interesting, I'm gonna write about this, or I'm gonna include it in my piece. A couple of the older guys were talking about it's really important because they're leaving tonight. Last time they stayed over.
Not only did they stay over, and you'd use this in your piece if you want. There was some kind of issues with plane availability. They didn't leave the hotel till, you know, and this is so game two in Houston. They have two off days. I'm trying to think. They played Sunday night and Tuesday. So this would be Wednesday afternoon with a Friday home game. They didn't leave the hotel until like 2, 3, 4 p.m. Like, they didn't get back home till way later than planned.
Yeah, so the way they described it, you know, if you're traveling, and I kind of feel it even though, like, I'm flying commercial. Like, that travel day is not an actual off day. Like, it's not a work day. But there is a bit of a toll. So they were just happy, like, we're going to get home tonight. Yes. And then Thursday is a full off day. Whereas last time, what was it, Wednesday was not a full off day.
Yeah, so they got one off day instead of two. Punted away one of their off days.
Punted away an off day by staying over.
And again, some of that is like the sleep science people, especially it was an 8:30 tip. You got to remember that. I mean, they're leaving the arena that night at like 1 a.m. So if you flew, you're getting home super late. And, you know, a lot of the sleep science people in sports say it's better to sleep in the city, wake up, travel the next day. But I'm of that belief. I always take the earliest flight in the morning. Like, I'm leaving in like a 6 a.m., 7 a.m. or tomorrow because I want a day tomorrow. I want to get home at 11 a.m. I have things to do. I have errands to run. And, like, these are all people who have all those things.
And when you're doing this, you feel like you flew today, right? Especially from Houston, right? Like, you're going and you're crossing a couple time zones, so... Like, I get it, even though I know they're flying, like, private and all that. But I guess when you're 37, 35, almost 36, that stuff really starts mattering. But there was a bit of, okay, we're going tonight. That didn't feel like a small detail to them. That felt pretty important.
Yeah, I mean.
And it was a 6:30.
Season. It's not. This reminds me a little bit like the play-ins where, remember, you have the Clippers game. That they lost, but it was like, all right, whatever. You know, you got the Friday night or the Tuesday night Memphis game, that first play-in game. And if you get that, you're in a fine spot. And they got that, and they played Houston in the first round, which we would all consider that being it was a nice matchup for them. This feels a little bit the same, where they kind of kicked away the game five. Okay, whatever, go home. But if you don't get that game six, you could be in deep trouble. Just like we knew, if you didn't get the Memphis play-in game, you were probably in deep trouble.
Yeah.
Not that they can't come into game seven. And when you mentioned the Sacramento series, they lost game six at home. They went on the road and won game seven. But you do not want any part of a Sunday afternoon Houston game seven.
Because even if you win it, you're paying a price in the next series. Yeah. So even if you do. I'm curious if they can coax a bad game out of Houston. Because we've seen two really good offensive games from Houston.
Jalen Green, they have shown they can, but they were shown tonight that they didn't need some huge Jalen Green explosion to win a game.
Yeah, I mean, the Houston looks really comfortable, like very comfortable.
Tonight they did. They have most of the series.
And game four, well, I'm thinking mostly of Şengün and Fred VanVleet.
Şengün had a stretch, and it was mostly when Draymond was in foul.
Draymond was out, but Fred VanVleet was hitting. And Amen Thompson, you know, was pretty good, like, attacking the basket. They've just found a way to be effective, and the way they're shooting the ball, I think they're over 50% the last couple of games combined. Like, I wonder if they've got enough energy to say, all right, it's time for Houston to start missing some shots, like, making them feel some pressure. Because, you know Houston's got some missed shots in them. Like, they can miss. They can rack up some misses, but they haven't the last couple of games.
Yeah, I mean, they have plenty of points of the series. Yes, but they have. All right, we'll talk to you game six Friday night. First game six without Klay Thompson.
There will be no – who's filling the game six blank?
You would assume Jimmy.
Game six Jimmy? That don't really flow.
Game six Buddy?
Game six Buddy got a nice little ring to it. But you know who I'm going with, actually? Look, I'm feeling this. We can book this. I'm going with Game 6 Pat.
Game 6 sitting on the bench.
Pat Spencer, babe.
It's going to be a tight rotation. It's going to be a tight rotation. So, all right, we will talk to y'all after Game 6.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Bringing a data center online takes more than equipment. It takes precision. Graybar helps customers predict, stage, schedule, deliver, and verify every step of the build with critical products that are available now. From networking and wireless to critical power and testing tools, our teams help you reduce downtime risk and keep projects on track. Speed. Scale. Ready now. Yep. Graybar does that.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.